You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-all-fits branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code pod20 for 20% off your first product.
Have you subscribed to the OTB Football Podcast?
Like, it's baffling. Like, absolutely baffling, because it doesn't make them look good. Doesn't make David Moyes look good. Doesn't make the owners look good. Doesn't make the Premier League look good.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast, stream wherever you get your podcasts, and download the OTB Sports app.
How are you feeling about the return? There's a great bit of excitement about it. I wonder, from your own point of view, are you like excited, but also like, I really wish I was involved?
Yeah, this is, I've had close on 20 years. It's funny, Stephen Kenny's first ever League of Ireland game was mine. I think it was, we were working it out the other day, it was back in 98. So I've sort of more or less been involved every year since. Last year was different, and it was a COVID year as well. So this is the first time it feels, yeah, home in the evening. It's gone, what am I doing? Mm. What am I doing with my life? Mm. So I was power washing the garden during the week just to try and keep myself busy at this time of the year. Strange. So yeah, it is strange, but looking forward to it as well at the same time. It's good to see there's definitely new interest come into the league, I think, in the last couple of years, and I think that's great to see.
It definitely felt that interest was bubbling up nicely right before the pandemic hit. Definitely more kind of people who would be casual viewers being compelled to go to games. There was definitely a movement, it felt, which was very match-going based. Therefore, it kind of did fizzle out once the pandemic did hit. So you'd like to think that that'll come back nicely over the next couple of months.
Yeah, and I suppose there's a couple of reasons for that. If you go back to probably the last big game before the COVID hit, I think it was Dundalk and Rovers, and it was close on 8,000 at the game. It was an amazing game. You know, you had Jordan Flores' goal, you had Jack Bourne's brilliant winner. I'm still hurt over that game a couple of years later, so that shows you the type of the level that was there. So and then because of the league doesn't get the coverage on the likes of the TV, that other, it can drift away for people, and it becomes the norm not to go for a game on a Friday and a point after. But thankfully people have started to go back to the games, and there's been a good interest in terms of a lot of grounds sell out, which isn't necessarily a good thing because some of the attendance aren't good enough. But we've got to get that part right if we're going to progress the league. In terms of, you look at Daly Mount Park, in many ways the home of Irish football, it'll sell out every week for the season, but it won't be anything more than 4,000 or 4,500, and that's a real concern.
What are you doing from your own point of view? What's the LinkedIn network for football managers trying to get back into the game? Can you chat to people? Are you sending CVs out? How does all that work?
Yeah, it is a little bit of that, but you've got to get on with your life as well. You know, football is very fickle, and you've got to make hay when the sun shines. So I had an amazing close on 10 years. I won't go on about it, but we've quite a few league titles, and, you know, 40-odd European games and Europa Leagues and that. So I had a good time of it, and sometimes you've got to come away from it. Would I like to go back in? Absolutely yes, but not that I'm looking for a job up there, but for example, most weeks I've gone up to the north to watch games, or gone to the UK. I was at Linfield and Larne about 10 days ago. Brilliant game of football in Windsor Park, and stuff that keeps you busy. Mm. Being out watching Leinster, haven't got the cheese board like you out yet, but Jesus. just keep yourself busy in that sense, and watch sport. And I think if you're interested in sport and coaching, you follow different codes, and it gives you a chance to have a look at them. I'm going to the Dubs in Kildare. When is it, next week, the week after? So you just keep yourself busy in that sense.
Roy Keane was talking in the papers this morning about, he was obviously closely linked, and it seemed like was offered the Sunderland gig. He was talking about like the right fit. It's got to be the right fit, and we were chatting about it earlier on. Like, it seems if you're waiting for exactly the right fit, you could be waiting a while.
Yeah, it's a wider discussion outside League of Ireland. Any manager's job, I think, when you take someone like Graham Potter, if that bus is coming along, do you jump? Do you wait for the right opportunity? And then so many managers, we talk with the next England manager or the next Ireland manager or whatever, and just stock goes down. You look at the questions around Brendan Rodgers at the moment. So, sometimes you've got to jump when something comes available, albeit it has to be within certain parameters, the right gig. So, yeah, like, again, you look at clubs in Scotland, you would think that your CV would stand up over there in at certain levels, and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. So, and as I said, I'm quite comfortable if the opportunity comes or doesn't. That's the same for other managers here. We've a lot of young managers who would, I would imagine, albeit they couldn't say it, their ambitions are bigger than just League of Ireland. I think they'd like to go further afield.
Is there something bubbling in Scotland? Is that
No, there's not. There's just like over the last couple of months, there's been a couple of gigs. You get an interview, it's great, and sometimes you don't even get a phone call back. But I mean, that's the same in any business, any walk of life nowadays. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. All right, we'll watch that with interest, obviously, as it unfolds over the next while. The cheese boards, if you have any recommendations, Vinny, we're all open for that stuff. Let's take a clip. Stewie was in with Nathan and Dan last night. They were looking ahead. And here was Stewie Byrne's thoughts about, obviously, much fancied Shamrock Rovers for the season ahead.
Is there a player that you think we should look out for in 2022? You can include yourself now, if you like.
In terms of our own squad, I'd say Evan Weir. He's a young defender, attacking fullback, so yeah, I think he definitely want to look out for this year.
Someone maybe on our team that not many people know about is Darragh Keane. He had a brilliant season last year, and hopefully he can hit the ground running going into next week.
There's a couple, I suppose, our own. James Clark has come on a lot in there, and Drogheda, Evan Weir. And we've a few young lads coming through, so hopefully they'll be catching a few headlines.
Young Dara Burns that play with ourselves. He lit it up coming probably later in the year last year, so I think he's a player that could really excite fans this year again.
Probably a few players that I'd rate very highly. There's quite a few I've already left for different leagues across Britain. Without putting too much pressure on them, I'll throw in my goalkeeper, Ed McGinty.
I think Mark Bourne for us this last year had a good year, but I think he's going to kick on this year, so Mark Bourne, yeah.
Jack Moyle on the Shells, he was at Wexford last year, he's done really well for us, and he's probably one who's not particularly well known yet, but I think he will be in a year.
That was Aisling O'Reilly out and about over the last couple of days, getting a bit of a sense check ahead of the start of the new season. Not Stewie Byrne, but he was in with Nathan and Dan last night. Basically what he was saying, Vinny, was that complacency was Shamrock Rovers' biggest obstacle this season, which can't be given much hope to the chasing pack if that's the biggest threat to them.
Yeah, it would be hard to disagree with Stewie on that one. I mean, I think the biggest challenge, and it's a challenge for the league, is they're not really being pushed. They haven't been pushed in terms of, if you look at the last 10 years, it was Dundalk and Cork, it was Dundalk and Rovers. You know, you need someone to push you. The challenge is who steps up to that and makes Shamrock Rovers better. I think Europe for them will certainly focus the squad. I think they'd be disappointed how Europe finished last year. Europe is such a big carrot for players. You know, you look at the quality in their squad, and they'll all want to showcase themselves in European football. It didn't go well for them last year. Ultimately, they went out quite easy, so that's the challenge. I know they'll talk about just retaining their title, but I think it's more than that for Shamrock Rovers, and I think that will be a huge concern. And also this year, probably more than anyone, you look at their bench last year, like Lopez, Barry Cotter, Graham Bourke, Richie Tell, Rory Gaffney, Chris McCann were all on the bench last week in the President's Cup final. And that's a challenge for the staff to keep all them players happy. There's no League Cup this year, for argument's sake, which is a strange decision. So there's a lot of work to do with Shamrock Rovers just to stay where you are, because as we all know, it can change very quickly. But you'd imagine Shamrock Rovers will win the league comfortably.
Right. Jack Byrne obviously coming back has caused a fair bit of interest as well. Is he 25? And he's, like you said, such a run of clubs. Obviously, some of them have been on loan. What's your sense of what he can do for Rovers this season? He's obviously impressed so much in the couple of seasons he's been there previously, but your sense of what he'll bring to the party for Rovers this season?
Yeah, obviously, there's no doubt he was thereabouts as the best player in the league. He certainly played as if he was the best player in the league himself. You look at Derry, would have some talents as well, which I would say could be on par with Jack. But Jack has the ability, and what's great about him is we're starting to talk about players like Jack. It's not Jack Bourne or Bourne at Rovers. You could have a League of Ireland discussion and talk about Jack, which is great. So that tells you he's a star in himself. I sort of live in around the Tallaght area. The one concern I have is where's the Jack Bourne billboard or the Richie Tells and these people? I think we need to do that better. But look, to go back to him as a footballer, I think he'll feel he's something to prove. Whether he made the right or wrong decision to go to leave the league at the time, I think we'll find out. He's lost a lot of football and he'll feel he's something to prove again. And there's no doubt he'll have ambitions of getting back into the international squad. And he'll have to be brilliant to do that because I think the landscape around that has changed. So it's a challenge for him. There's no doubt when you go and watch him play, the people at Tallaght love him, Rovers fans love him, and he's a star and he's something big about the league. And we certainly have that in the league now when you look at the likes of Damien Duff and other stories that are developing. I think there's a real appetite now for the league, and people like Jack Bourne really add to that.
You mentioned that game right before the pandemic between Rovers and Dundalk. How much will, I guess, not matching, but journeying towards the fact that they might be able to be put in the same conversation as that Dundalk team over the next little while motivate Shamrock Rovers this season to begin with the three in a row, first of all, before doing whatever it was, 5 and 6?
Yeah, I would say it's so hard to talk about other League of Ireland clubs because you're at the risk of someone saying something to me when I'm buying the shopping tomorrow night. What I'll say is I think they've got to prove themselves in Europe. To be up in that category of that great Dundalk team or the great Shelbourne team. And I don't like comparing eras, and even the great Rovers team that got to the group stages in 2001, was around 10 around that time. I think they've got to do better in Europe. I think they haven't done well enough in Europe. They know that themselves. They've certainly got a squad now that's capable of being really good in Europe. And I think this side could capture the imagination of the nation, to be honest with you, because of the stars of as I said, Jack Bourne and players of that quality. You've seen the story around Lopez throughout the off-season. So Danny Mandrew, all these players can capture the imagination of the nation. And it's funny for people who League of Ireland people were very unique in our own way. We live in our own world, and people look in from afar and they criticise and they like it and don't like it. But from having experienced a European campaign, it changes everything. Everybody has a real interest in it. You could be walking down a street in Dublin and in 2016 and people would stop you and discuss it in terms of the Europa League run, etc. So it's a huge thing. I think we need it if we've to kick our domestic football on. We need our clubs really pushing towards Europe, but it's gone so hard. So for me, that will be the key for this side to go to the next level.
On paper, do they have that same level of talent?
Yes, they do. Right. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely do. For player-wise, you know, they're as good as that Dundalk side in 16. They've just got to now prove on the pitch, to be fair to them.
You look at like what the Norwegian champions were doing last night, obviously in the Champions League, and like it is the thing I think that the
Conference League.
The Conference League, sorry, did I say Champions League?
Yeah.
It was very far from the Champions League. But nevertheless, like against a team that they were definitely not fancy to get anything out of it. But like just on that point, Vinny, about I think looking at it between Dundalk and Rovers and obviously Shelbourne going back, it is the thing that tends to pierce the consciousness of those who aren't that worried about the League of Ireland. How well set up are Rovers, to expand on that question, to pierce that, and what do you think can be the extent of their ambitions this year on that front?
The Conference League, they left that group stage Conference League behind them last year from the Estonia side. They should have beat them. They're better than them. It just didn't happen on a day, and that's football at that highest level. One moment or a couple of moments went against them, but I think they've got such an ability to keep the ball in Europe. That's huge. It's not always been the way for our side, so I think that's huge. You would sort of, again, reluctant to criticise people. The staff there have done an amazing job. You would just wonder, sometimes at the highest level in Europe, it's that little bit of pace not from a defensive point of view, he would have it at times. It's that little bit of pacing behind people and capitalise on a mistake. So where they'll be comfortable and they might have a lot more possession than some of the teams they meet in Europe, it's can they penetrate in behind at the highest level, and because you might only get one chance for one ball in behind, and the rest is history. So for me, that would be the only real concern in Europe, a front man who can really lead the line or show them real pace in behind. Beyond that, it's a luck of a draw. When you go back to Dundalk last year, we were the seeded team and we drew Vitesse Arnhem, who are still in the competition, lost 2-1 away in Germany last night and may still go through. So it's so difficult. Rovers aren't seeded because your coefficient is based on your last 5 years in Europe, so they'd be unseeded in a lot of the draws, and you can be really unlucky. But you could meet an Icelandic champions who are seeded. So it all depends. It's really is the look of the draw at that level.
Can I ask you one more just on Jack Byrne? Given the transitional nature of where he's come from up to this point, like another big year at Rovers and the links will all be there again with a move somewhere else, what do you think is he best advised to do? Like, would you like to see him stay at Rovers for the next 4 or 5 years, or what do you think will happen for him?
Yeah, like, for me, it'd be great if part of the league, not just Jack Byrne, but the league was built around these stars, and he focused on becoming the star in Ireland, becoming the big name, becoming, you know, someone who can make a real living here in terms of people get involved with him from an advertisement point of view. And you see, he's starting to do bits of that. As I said, there would be billboards built around people like Jack Byrne and the stars that are in the league like that. So for me, does Jack Byrne, I've watched a lot of League 1, League 2 football, is he good enough to play at that level? Absolutely. But does it suit him? Probably not. And that's why he probably made the decision to go to Europe at the time. But again, in terms of he probably tripled his wages when he went away, and you know, he's a young lad who has to make a living for himself. So if somebody comes back in at some stage in the next 12, 18 months and offer him 2 and 3 times his wages, and sometimes it can be life-changing money as well for these guys. So, but it would be brilliant if we built the league around people like Jack Byrne, Danny Mandrew, Michael Duffy, and made them the stars that I think people connected to them clubs think they are.
Are Shelburne a sleeping giant or just a giant?
Oh, like, I mean, I played against that great Shelburne team, Stewie Bourne, Owen Heary, these guys, just fantastic team, brilliant club. The atmosphere in Tolka Park was sensational back around that time. Pat Fenlon done an amazing job with them. But it's been so long since they've been where they are that it'll take a lot for them to get back to the levels they need to be. So you would have to say, Duffer won't like me saying it, you'd have to say absolutely sleeping giant, because to wake that club back up to what it needs to be, it's very difficult to get the crowds in, because Tolka Park has fallen apart. The new stand that went in, the new stand, is now condemned and supporters aren't allowed in it, for example. So it's going to be difficult. It's going to be small crowds, sold out crowds generally down there, and it's a difficult league for teams who get promoted. Very few do really well in it, so it's a difficult road back to where they'll get to. I know Damien will work really hard to get them there, but you're taking on some clubs who've been there for a long time, and Shells have been so up and down that genuinely I think if Shelburne finished the league mid-table or third from bottom, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for them as a club, and to build slowly to get back to where they once were.
I think him saying during the week that it's the biggest day in his life outside of any family things, I think was like a huge endorsement for it. And he's been cranking up obviously the pressure on the players as well by saying this is a giant of a club and the expectations are there and you've got to fill the shirt. Like, he's been saying all the right things. I think what's in terms of like what he can expect on the pitch, obviously, Pat's this weekend. What's the, like, what do you expect to see? Because he might have, and he's obviously got the history he has in terms of the clubs he's played with and the style that he had, and he might have something in mind, and he might have to be more pragmatic for the reasons that you've just outlined. What do you expect to see from Damien Duff's style of football?
Yeah, like, I done my pro licence with Damien, so spent 2 years in and out of his company, right, the last couple of years, and really intense guy, loves his football. At the time, he was working with Celtic under Brendan Rodgers, who is in many ways one of the godfathers of football over there. We obviously have Pep and Klopp, but Brendan, I suppose, for Irish people, he's very connectable with. And Damien seemed to have a really strong relationship with him. And you could see that in the way when he spoke and when he gave us examples of what he was doing at his club. And John Kennedy, the assistant manager there, was really... You know, he's one of the most highly regarded coaches in British football. And so Damien picked up a lot from them guys, I would say, in particular. Obviously, he worked under Mourinho and he won Premiership titles. So, but it's a whole different world to where he is. It's still the same game, but he's just working with a player who isn't as good as what he once was working with. So that will be difficult. I think where he'll find it difficult is when you look at a squad, a lot of young players with a bit of talent. I've seen they've played three at the back in pre-season, they've played with back four, so he'll have to find his own style and his own way of playing that suits his players. So just because he's worked under Brendan Rodgers and they played a certain way at Celtic, or it doesn't mean he can just automatically take that as a blueprint and build it into shells, because he's got different players.
Does it take him a while to figure that out then, Vinny? Is that like, you might have an idea and this is, I'm all in now on this thing, but you may, and Stephen Kenny has had to do it obviously with Ireland, you may need to adapt.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we all get brandished with different titles. People would say, in transfer room where you're going to transfer market, we'll all as coaches, I'm called the 4-3-3 coach, and people would say I'd like to be this way and that way. That's just because of the players I worked with. I worked with Gannon and Massey, two best fullbacks in the last 10-12 years, so I played that sort of way that suited them players. But Damien has different players there now, and as I said, he's got people like Mark Coyle from Finn Harps, he's got Ayr Dervin from Longford last year, who will make probably a big part of his midfield. Yes, they will be technical enough players, but they're all about work rate and energy, so his style will have to adapt to the players he has. So it will be fascinating to see. I know Damien doesn't want it to be about him and he's trying to play that part of it down, but it was funny, I seen a picture of his press conference and all the usual, the 10-12 lads were sitting around with him, Damien in the middle of it, and I sort of chuckled to myself, because someone like Rory Higgins is tucked away up in Derry, probably driving back to somewhere around up the hills there in the car, laughing to himself, because they spent a huge amount of money, they've signed a huge amount of players, and all the attention is on Damien and Chel. So that's good for other managers in the league. So from Chel's perspective and Damien's, I can understand that when you know him as a person, difficult to know, but a brilliant person, so enthralled in the game that I can see why he said what he said about this being one of the biggest days of his life. Because he doesn't do anything by half. I imagine if he goes for a loaf of bread, he's thought about which brand he's buying, why he's buying it, and how long it's going to last, and what his plan is to do with the bread. And that's just Damien Duff, and he's brilliant for it. But there is other hard worker managers in the league as well. You can't get to this level without being obsessed by the game.
Well, you mentioned Derry, so let's go there. And Stewie was talking, saying last night that they should challenge Rovers, which is, there's not a huge amount of sentiment for that out there. But you mentioned Rory Higgins, obviously, the players they've brought in that you'll be very familiar with, Duffy and McElhenney. The real positive story bubbling up there. Is it realistic that they'll challenge?
So it's Rory Higgins, not Rory. So
Rory,
yeah. So very much an Irish name. Rory was there, worked with myself and Stephen in 18 when we won the double. He was my assistant in 19, and people were talking about other managers. Just an amazing football person who, you know, you talk about eat, drink, and sleep football. He knows everything about everything of the game and every player, and you can tell by the squad he's put together. The obvious ones: Duffy, McElhenney, Will Patching gone up there. It's just a sensational sort of front line they've put together up there. They will play things down, and rightly so. They've got to manage expectations, but the Brandywell, with a team going well, is one of the best clubs in this country, and I think what they can bring to the league is they can bring a title race. I've no doubt about that. It's a long way to come back from where they were to catch Shamrock Rovers. I think it's 24 points from last year. That's a lot of games to make up, but they've certainly put the players in place to do that. Again, signing of Cameron Dumigan you would say where was one of their weaknesses, they could have been stronger at the back. Cameron Dunbigan from Dundalk, brilliant signing, four Dundalk players who have all had success. So really strong sort of, and there's a local element to it. Shane McElhenney has come back as well. Patrick and Michael are from the town, and when that town gets together, we've seen some of the documentaries recently, it's an amazing football town, and the Brandywell will be a difficult place to go this year. So for me, I think they're probably the only team capable of pushing Rovers all the way this year.
Right, so we're saying Rovers, we're saying Derry might get close, and then with the who's the best of the rest? Like,
yeah, well, Pats last week in the President's Cup were actually better than Rovers on the day. They should have been two or three up. Owen Doyle has come back into the league, looks really good. Dara Burns was exceptional last year. Young players coming through that club. So it is difficult between Pats, Bowles and Sligo and Dundalk to pick next best of them. There's so many changes to them squad that you've got to, it's a wait and see. I mean, when you look at Bowles, the players they've lost, Georgie Kelly, Ross Tierney, they're huge blows for them. Cornwall, their centre half and their captain Buckley, right through the middle of their squad. That's a huge blow for Bowles. So we don't know what Bowles are going to be like. Pats have lost some big players. So it looks very, very simply Rovers, Derry will chase them, and it's up to the rest. Sligo have lost John Mann and John Kenny. John Kenny, young player coming through, gone to Celtic. John Mann was their captain and a real leader for them, and that's a huge blow for them. So we've lost a huge amount of talent out of the league as well. It's a big, big story developing underneath. And a lot of the clubs have suffered as a result of it.
In terms of players that are still in the league, give us a few players to watch then before we let you go, Vinny.
Yeah, well, Dara Bourne's exceptional player at St. Pat's. Jamie McGonigal at Derry, young player that he signed from the Northern League. Again, Rory's knowledge, brilliant player. Jamie Mullins at Bowes has a real chance. Carl Sullivan was at Finn Harps last year, but he's gone to Sligo into the professional setup. Nothing against Finn Harps, but I think he is one that could kick on. Shell signed from Wexford, Jack Moylan, looks a really, really good player, albeit it was first division level, so that will be interesting. But again, people criticise UCD. They've got a couple of big stars now that are being promoted, but Colin Whelan, Irish under 21 international, and Liam Carrigan looks the real deal. He's someone I last summer would have spoken to his agent if Dundalk had went down a different route as a club. Someone like Liam Carrigan is destined to be a star, I feel, but with so many of these young players, hard to know. But they look the real stars for me. And again, watch out for Brendan Kavanagh up in Derry, because he was at Rovers, went on loan to Bray, but the style of Derry might suit him, and there's certainly new stars about to come true because we need them. We've lost that many.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-all-fits branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code pod20 for 20% off your first product.